SWR, an official EDXC radio, broadcasting on 25 and 48 meter bands. Scandinavian Weekend Radio.
And I would say, at least for me, one big thing of the SD receivers is the visualization. You can see what you really are listening to. And maybe the first one, when we started this kind of visualization, the first program used, at least for me and many others, was the Spectrum Lab program. We could see really the exact frequencies, how they go. And we could record also what is happening on these frequencies, and we can see what stations there really are. And maybe one visual thing was, of course, some of the receivers like ICOM R9000, which does have the scope, which is not that good as those computer receivers. And if we now look at the which kind of software-defined radios we have, I would say we have some who where is still the intermediate frequency system, IF. That is Finn Radio, for instance. It's not the direct receiver as other models like IQ receivers, which really is doing having these two components, I and Q, and then mathematically demodulating and making the spectrum of this. And of course, when you have the large spectrum receiver receiving all part of the spectrum, you can also not only demodulate it and listen it, you can also save it to hard disk. And that's, of course, the most important and interesting thing why these are used. So that was the Win Radio models, which are really having a still the IF system, and its capacity is so limited only to this 20 kilohertz within the IF spectrum. The model, you have seen pictures, it's like this box, you can't open it, and so on. But this has, unfortunately, I don't have now connected this, we can't see the human interface of this on here, but if you want, we can later on connect it also. Then, well, I will show also the other mostly used. Well, I think quite a few has also this Chow receiver. This capacity to record is limited only to 48 or 47 kilohertz. And mainly the most used is the IQ model. The older one is a bigger with the power supply unit. This one is also only connected to USB cable. I will show later on more about these different sets and the properties of these sets. I have also here to show very small one, DRB3O receiver. Actually, this is not for analog listeners, and I know what's our opinion of DRM, so I don't present this very much. This is mainly for DRM listening, which has, of course, nowadays there is luckily not so many stations. So this is the basic alternatives. We have the IF system, which actually this DRB and Win Radio, they both have the IF still, but then the other models, usually, they are receiving all directly spectrum, and they are saving the spectrum directly. Maybe this is the development, how you see it first, about in year 2004, so that was the Win Radio, was one of the first. It was 220 kilohertz you can put in computer and hard disk. And afterwards, maybe next one was the Chow models with about 50 kilohertz. And as you see, it's gradually going up, and now in, I think this year or next year, you will have recording capacity of 1,600 kilohertz. I think on medium wave listener, that's enough. Hopefully no more disks. Because you know what happens when you are saving. At least nowadays, if you go to Lapland and save 400 or 800 kilohertz to hard disks, then you have a lot of disks. Mainly now, when we are using SDR IQ or SDR 14, we have here maximum 192 kilohertz capacity. Well, it's quite a few channels anyway, if you're thinking about the transatlantic channels. But then with the recent models of Perseus receiver, there is now 800 kilohertz, and next year maybe 1,600. So this is a typical situation. You go 5 days, maybe 5 days to Lapland or somewhere good place to listen, and you save 10 hours per day in 800 kilohertz spectrum. What you get? You have 80 channels, transatlantic channels, which means totally you will have recordings of 4,000 hours in those 5 days. And if you go them through now, you go back and you start listening them. So what does that mean? More than 2 years' time, you can pay someone, just listen daily basis, 8 hours per day, right, what is happening. So that's the problem. Okay, and soon we have 160 channels. And if you are interested, also the Asians and Europeans, they are still double that of that. But that means 8,000 hours of continuous listening. And maybe the Europeans and other channels, 8,000 more. So once in a lifetime you go to Lapland, and then you listen. Rest of your life. So I'm coming to the conclusions of this. So you have to take another view to the hobby. You can't do that. You can't listen all everything. Of course you can put them on the hard disk. But now you have to know what you do. New strategy. Maybe limiting listening only to good hours, good openings, dawn, sunrise, when you know this is a time when you can listen. For instance, here in Finland, South Finland, to the east, when sun is setting time, maybe in October at around 13, 14 hours UTC. And then to west, you can listen only morning when the sun one rises. And everyone knows there is the propagation is better during these dark hours. So you can limit it, let's say 30 minutes, maybe 30 minutes afternoon, 30 minutes morning time. That's one possibility. Then, of course, you can concentrate once a month. Usually once or twice a month we have so-called good conditions. They are not good if you compare to 1970s, but anyway, when the sun is silent, just concentrate to that maybe only once a month and make all recordings of that. Or, which is quite popular, of course, if you are living in a center of big city, you go only once a year, maybe only once a year to remote place in Lapland or somewhere else with good antennas, and you put that 5 days. But now we will have all, as you saw, quite many hours of listening also with this. And finally, there we have, I just tell you briefly about how accurate you can measure the frequency. And just now it seems these IQ receivers with the spectra view are best, because you can go below 1 hertz, and it seems to be enough for the hobby to have that. But I will show later on a demonstration what I mean you can see the frequency exactly, because it's the most important thing for me personally and to many, many people, because we know also the offsets of the different stations, so we can say this is this and this is that. But of course you have to check them always, and you have to calibrate always it. But the program and the software is, calibration is included in the software. And usually we change ideas with other guys, other DXers, what is the frequency of this and this, and also making the calibration better. But this is the way it goes also. Now you can have, like here, you can have the timeline. You can jump here. Yeah, this is not your recording, yes. Unfortunately, this is not.
Then you can go to the top of the hour. Yeah, so that is the top. But it's almost as we can, sometimes it goes. If you are just looking for now the Denver station, you check when this is down and you check when this is up. And you can listen there and go back and forth. And it's the same situation with another channel you can have. Very typical situation is also this. As you know, there's a lot of stations. One of the best channels, transatlantic channels, there's a lot of stations. And as you see, it should be 997 or something. 9965, yes. This is the Vancouver station. It's always on this frequency. And when you see something other is coming at this hour, 951, they should be maybe, I have actually now knowledge of the Washington station, but it's somewhere other channel. It might be just above the nominal, I think it's near the nominal. But of course, you can't be sure it will be very stable on this, but as you know, for instance, Boston station, always 18.2 about 9. But you have to do the calibration, of course. And that is the feature of the spectroscopy, why this is good, because you can see them exact frequencies immediately. Of course, you have to calibrate, but anyway. Because I will show next, how is the time?
10 minutes.
10 minutes still, okay. Because I will show the difference with Perseus doing this same thing. And you can do this also on the recorded material, not only when you are listening. And that's the way SpectraView is doing it. As you saw with the SpectraView, it was not that easy to operate, maybe, but when you are used to it, it is. There is some things which are better here with the Perseus. Span so that I could do that, but as you know, see, it's not that good as on SpectraView. And now what it does, it jumps to the beginning of the spectrum. It jumped to 1,200 kilohertz. And I don't see now to 410, which I wanted to measure. So I think there is some bug in the program and software still. So this is a good software, but this does not work to measure. So we are now here. Of course, I can go there. And I can close this one. If I want to go to some frequency, I can double click on this and I get another keypad here. Let's try, for instance, this channel. Then you have the timeline here. Now it's a problem because we can't see it now. Now we see it where we are. Anyone getting the idea here? But if you don't hear, or you just put the volume down, you know there is some station, okay? Let's go to the top of the hour. Yeah, now you have the identification there, so you don't have to listen. You can check it here. Of course, there is no intelligence, it's only the database there, but you can have several databases, like you see here, HFCC, ABList, or you can make your own. And this is also good when you go to Lapland, you will have all the possible stations and you can check what is the most easy here. And maybe you can have also the offset frequencies. And hopefully the software will be developed so you can measure it immediately. You can check it. So there might be some intelligence in the future. They are saying this might be, let's say, Boston, because its offset is 18 hertz above. I think it's quite simple to do that. So I will collect this and go to radio room later on, and I will be here about 1 hour still, because I have to go away then. Any questions so far of this versus maybe this is the most interesting just now?